35 and then verse number 45. Luke chapter 24, verse number 13. And behold, two of them, meaning disciples, went to the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came and saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went into tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the Scriptures, and they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Verse number 45, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, I pray for help this morning. We know we're a needy people. I pray you'll forgive me for where I've sinned against you. I plead the blood upon this place, asking that you'd form a vacuum and cast aside every demon of hell that would hinder. Lord, I pray you'd just help us to get hold of something today that will help, encourage, and may you manifest yourself to someone before it's too late, that they might, be saved, and we'll thank you for that. I know, Lord, we have a lot of people that's sick and a lot of minds pulled aside, and even some here today is not up to par. Pray you'd touch them. But most of all, give them ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us all today. We'll thank you for what's done. Give us the recall we need. Help us to say what needs to be said. Put aside anything don't need to be said. We'll thank you for what is done and praise you for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the Lord does the opening. The Lord does the opening. Now, I know we've read the story. I hope and pray that you're familiar with the background about these two disciples on the road to Emmaus and why they were there. But there's five things I want us to think about that the Lord has to open and did in these people, these two disciples at least, here at this time. One, he opened the Scriptures to them. One, he opened their eyes, and third, he opened their hearts, then he opened their mouths, then he opened more understanding. Now, part of the understanding came when he opened the Scripture, but later in verse 45, he said he opened their understanding to them. And so we want to look at those five things today and think about them. Now, first of all, get a background behind the story. Jesus had been crucified, and some of the disciples and knew the tomb was empty, and realizing this is before the understanding of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost coming and before the completed Scripture was given. So they didn't didn't have the knowledge that we've got. In fact, they won't have as much responsibility as we have because we have more than they have. But yet they went away a little disheartened. We thought he was the one that was going to come. And yet they believed in him as the Messiah. Therefore, they were really saved at that point in time when they believed that. But yet they still didn't fully understand. After all, Peter, James, and John didn't understand all about the resurrection, even though they were told, but they just didn't fully understand all about it. And so as a result, here they go back to the road, on the what we call on the road to Emmaus. And I don't know the exact distance. They don't even know where Emmaus really is. You get one guy and he'll tell you it's this far, and get another guy and he'll tell you it's some other mount. But it's somewhere, within walking distance at least of Jerusalem. Well, that's about the only way they had to go anyway. But they was walking back toward their home in Emmaus, and all at once Jesus joins up next to them and walks beside them. And you know what's important here? Who are these two disciples? Well, I don't know who they are. I know one of them. One of them's name, he said there in verse number 18, it said, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, and as he spoke to him. So the Bible gives us one of them's name, Cleopas. Well, as we think about that a minute, who's the other? Somebody said, I don't know. I don't either. But, you know, we sometimes think about two men. We see pictures walking down the road. It could have been man and woman, husband and wife. It could have been Miss Cleopas. Amen. It wouldn't do any injustice to the Scripture because, after all, down in verse number 29, what did he say? But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And so it doesn't mention any. I tried to really look at it close. It doesn't mention feminine gender. It doesn't mention necessarily masculine gender. It just calls them disciples. Well, it could have been Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. How do you know? Well, the Bible says that if you go back and study book of John chapter 19, verse number 25, it said at the foot of the cross, there was a woman named who was the wife of Cleopas, was at the foot of the cross. So she was there. And here's Cleopas. So it don't matter who, well, there's two men, but sort of seemed like a husband and wife ought to live together, you know. And they carried him in. Don't matter. But I want you to see the fact of these being disciples at this time. Now, I know sometimes when you read the word disciples, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily saved. The word disciples means followers of the Lord Jesus. And so in John chapter 6, it called them disciples. And yet many of them walked no more when Jesus put demands upon them because they wasn't willing to pay the price. And they left Jesus at that time. They wasn't saved. And Jesus told in John 8, he said, those that were claimed to be disciples, we believe on you. But he said, if you will continue in my word, then you shall be my disciples indeed. Truly. Amen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John, and Luke 14, did he not say, unless you're willing to hate your father and your mother and your own life also, and some more that he lists, you cannot be my disciple. That means genuine disciple. Unless you're willing to bear your cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you're willing to forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. It means you can't be a genuine disciple. But many followed him that were called disciples, and yet they wasn't saved. But I believe these two were what we would call saved folk at this time because of the fact of what they did and what transpired and how they were here at this time. So I believe they were Christians. Now, you notice first of all, as he began to walk with them, as he joined them, verse number 16 said, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, that word holden means to get possession of. In other words, the Lord took possession of their eyes where they wouldn't know who he really was at that time. You say, that's strange that the Lord would do that. He's got a purpose for all that he does. He really has. Now, in other words, the Lord had to get possession of their eyes or they would have recognized who he was, but he wanted to deal with them. He wanted to talk to them. Now, there's two powers in this world, in a sense, that can hold your eyes or keep you from seeing. Two powers, if you please. Well, you say, who's that? Well, it's the Lord. He is supreme power, by the way, and Satan. But he's not the supreme power, but he still has power, and he can hold your eyes. Well, for instance, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4, it says this about Satan, or the devil, or the god of this world. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the devil, who's the god of this world, little g, he hides us, he blinds us from the truth of the gospel to keep you from being saved. Now, I know God's got to let him do that. I understand. But if you realize something, men make choice. And as I said this morning in Sunday school, our choices are based upon the way we're brought up, our conditions and our nature, and what we, the standard that's been lifted up by our side. And if we don't lift up our standard to our children, they're going to choose wrong. If we don't train them rightly, and that means to be an example, they're going to choose wrong most of the time. Amen. Therefore, like the thief on the cross, I said this morning, he had something lifted up to him. And one time when he got in a spot and Jesus was there in person, if you please, I'll tell you, he received him. He turned to him and cried out because he had a standard. He made some right choices, even though he'd made wrong choices through his life. We all make wrong choices, but the Lord helps us to make the right choice if we'll only continue in His Word. Amen. Do what we know. He'll give you ability to make some right choices. Even though you may not have had the upbringing, even though you may not have had what you think should have been had back there, you still need to, what you have got, what the access you've got available to you, you're responsible for it. In other words, you're responsible for the knowledge you have and the access to that knowledge. And may the Lord help us to access it, if you please. And so, as a result, the God of this world tried to blind that. He steals the seed away from you. He does everything he can to keep you in darkness, in blinding you, or possessing your eyes, if you please, withholding. Their eyes were holding. And, of course, the Lord did it to these disciples, but the God of this world can do it to you. Now, how does He do that to you? Well, there's temptation that He comes, and when you yield to it, you get caught in that temptation and blinded to truth. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, but every man is tempted. You could put a period there. Every man, even Jesus, was tempted. Temptation is not the sin. But He said He's tempted when He's drawn away of His own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the devil will tempt you and place something in front of you, a snare, like a fish. You go fishing and you tempt that fish to bite your hook. Why do you do it? You cover up the real hook. You bait it with something that he drools over. Amen? You try to find what that fish likes, so he'll bite that hook and get snared. That's what the devil does to you, temptation. And as a result, he can cause you to be so blinded. Oh, you think about it. I mean, you think about what we're facing today. There's so much going on out there. And I've been dealing with different areas of things. I know when I went to college, the group of people that was called the Alpha Gamma Rose, and of course, being an agricultural fraternity, it was a social professional fraternity. They called them Alpha Grabba Hoes. Amen. Alpha Gamma Rho. But anyway, I remember they tried to get me to join, and I desired what they had as far as the connections, the friendship, I guess you could say, and things that were involved. I liked that, and it drawed me to them. And I joined that fraternity, and we were really charter members because it was just a kind of a club at the time, and later on it became a charter, and we were one of the charter members of that club. And you know, we went in and blindfolded and took a bunch of oaths and a bunch of things, and it's just a big boys game. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't know what I was saying. Don't even remember what I said. You understand what I'm saying? So blinded because my lust had taken hold of me that I went in and made all those oaths and whatnot. And every Thursday night we would meet together, and I don't remember the mottos and the so-called creeds or whatever you had to say every time. Every time you come together, we'd quote those certain things. And I'm sure I had them memorized because I was right up there gung-ho, you know, right on top. And then I went back after 25 years. I may have told you this when I went back because I had and wouldn't go back because of the fraternity. I knew that it wasn't scriptural. Had secret words, secret handshakes, secret passwords and those things. And as a result of that, I went back to that meeting after 25 years, because I had a burden for some of those so-called brothers, you understand? In other words, because of the closeness we'd had as people. And I began to pray for them, that God would do something for them. I sat in that meeting that day, and they went through their opening ceremony. And I sat there, and they said, let's quote the motto or pledge or whatever it was. I don't remember what they called it. And I quoted it for at least a year that I was there. I know I quoted it. And yet, when they quoted that, I said, my, idolatry to the core. I found out I had pledged, I had made commitments really committed to the goddess Demetris, the agricultural god. You're talking about idolatry. It makes you sick to your stomach when you have your eyes open. But my eyes were so closed to that, so caught up in that, that I did not know. Listen, the devil can cause you to lust after something and carry you down a dead-end street. Amen? Listen, fraternity was unscriptural. They're unscriptural. Amen? I know this one was, and I'm sure a lot of them are, because they're dealing with the underworld. They're dealing with gods, little g. And you make commitments to those. You pledge allegiance to those gods. And you do it blindly. But God help us. Amen? I'll tell you what. I hadn't said a whole lot about it, but the Masons, and I'll deal with this just a little. The Masons today, and folks don't have, they'll come and court you, but those men that's in that do not know what they're facing. They do not know what they're worshiping. They're blinded to by the god of this world. It's a big boys' club. But they'll come and get you to make commitments, and you'll pledge it. If you reveal the secrets of this, you'll take your heart to be cut out and placed in some web. I've got all the information. I know the secret password on it, amen. I'm not going to divulge it, amen. But I know the secret password even. I'm not a Mason, but folks, they're worshiping. It's called phallic worship. Now look it up when you go home. Find out what it is. It's unscriptural to the core. And you say, oh, if you read that word, you say, there's no way. I was a member of that. And there's no way that you're blinded to it. And they don't even tell you till you get up to about the 32nd. And then you're so blinded and caught in it, that 32nd degree, you don't even know what you're worshiping. Folks, I want to tell you what. We get caught in things and do not know it. I remember how I was caught in legalism, Phariseeism. I thought that was the way to do it. I mean, you know, mean, bless God, you know, that old mean type thing. And you don't toe the line. If you don't dress like I do and walk like I do, then there's no hope for you. You understand? You got to part your hair like I do and whatnot. But I want to tell you what, I was so blinded in that. Even though Brother Charles tried to help me to get out of that and talk to me about it, I could not see it. I was so blinded by the god of this world, even in religion, that I did not even know it. Amen. Temptation to be accepted by the brethren got me so blinded that when God opened my eyes and let me see, I realized, I said, my, why couldn't I see that? I heard those messages. I heard them, but I was blinded. And you realize, and I heard some of those messages that was preached all those years. I listened to the tape again, and there it was, clear as a bell. But I could not see it. I was blinded by the god of this world who had me caught in religion. You know that's the way we are. We're blinded by the forces of evil, if you please. And we need to get honest about that when God does give us a little light on the subject and denounce some of those things. I know we've been dealing with some people recently who talked about how that for years they've had light. I've had so much light, and now they're so blind that they still don't even know that the light that they did have. They don't even know. They're still so blinded in their religion, in the things that they're caught up with by the god of this world, who's a little g, so that they'll believe in the gospel's hid from them. Oh, would the God that he'd open our eyes, and that's what we need, that the Lord's got to do the opening. But here, he withheld their eyes, and the Satan can withhold your eyes. He can hold in your eyes, possess you, so that you'll not see something you need to see. He does it by tradition, by temptation. He does it by tradition. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, following things that's been passed from mouth to mouth that has become the gospel, if you please, because mama said it, it's okay. Listen, it's good to follow what mama said if mama's right, but if mama's wrong, we don't need to follow what mama said. In fact, if she's gone on, she'd be the first to tell you, don't follow what I said. She'd love to get the message back to you. Don't follow what I said if it wasn't truth. Amen. And may God help us to see tradition gets us in trouble. There's also deception. Now, that's where we really get deceived, and that's where the blindness comes. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He'll quote the word to you. He'll quote scripture to you, make you think that it's okay and everything's right. Well, he did to Jesus, did he not, when he went to tempt him? But Jeremiah 17:9 said, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Matthew chapter 23, verse number 15, it talked about the Pharisees, as Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you've made him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. deception has caused us in the Baptist church to be deceived, to thinking everything's all right because we followed what the preacher said, or we've done what somebody said. I want to tell you, it's deception and deceived into believing you're okay when you're not. You're really the twofold more child of hell. In other words, what it amounts to, this deception means that the devil will give you something as if it's from God. Counterfeit. This thing of telling, this thing that's moving through some of our brethren right now is of that same category that's blinding the minds of many in churches and holding them when they're telling them, you're okay because it's time for you to be saved. I was there, you did what the preacher said. I want to tell you, that's not of God. Amen. Listen, I don't want you to do what I say. If I tell you the truth, God's still got to quicken it to you. I know I've told Brother Doug in some of these meetings we've been at years ago, it's all right if God tells it to you. I remember, I've done that over and over and over again. I can preach the truth gun barrel straight, but listen, if you do it just because I preach it, you're still deceived. God's got to utter it to you. That's why you need Him to open up your eyes that you might see, because we're so blinded today. And by the god of this world, the devil. Now there's times the Lord blinds their eyes, just as He did these men here. In fact, the business the Bible said in Romans 11, 7 and 8, He said, what then? Talking about Israel. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. In other words, He said, all those who wasn't saved were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, the eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Then He also said, in other words, you say, well, why did God do that? Because they rejected light. And they chose to reject light and continue rejected light. And when He talks about Israel, He's talking about the majority, and that's what happened. And we look across this world today, and the majority have chosen to reject light, and as a result, even the Lord. And I know the devil blinds you, but I want to tell you what, God can even withhold light from you. What does He say? He said in Romans chapter 1, it just comes to mind, if you will not respond to the light you've got, even what light you've got becomes ignorance. And you'll wind up down to the degradation when God pulls back the restraint from you. And boy, you don't want that to happen. Amen? Because He'll turn you over to uncleanness and vile affection and reprobate minds. Oh, what an awful place to be. Well, it's not something that can happen easily. We read a book one time, and what was it he said? A reprobate will have to be told 10,000 times over, something like that, along that line. I forgot the exact wording of it, but some old writer said, it's not something you can easily do, but oh, listen, obey the light you have. Israel didn't, and God blinded them. In fact, the business Pharaoh talks in about him in chapter 9 of Romans chapter 17 and 18, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now, when it talks about God hardening Pharaoh's heart in the book of Exodus, you have to need to realize this. God hardened his heart by forcing him to an issue against which he hardened his own heart in refusal. He rejected light, and light rejected and rightful obedience refused eventually hardens conscience and hearts. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. That's what happened to Judas Iscariot. And that's what happens to many. And yet it's instrumentally God's the one who did it. But He's got a purpose in all that He does. In other words, when He keeps some in darkness, if you please, He's got a purpose. Now there's a man kept in darkness physically in John chapter 9. And there the disciples came along with Jesus there in John chapter 9, verse number 2 and 3. And of course they saw the man born blind. And in the time of that day, well, they believed that if anybody was blind physically, it was because they sinned or their parents sinned that caused it. And sometimes that's true. But yet, in verse number 2 of John 9, His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, He didn't mean they wasn't sinners, but He meant that they didn't sin that caused this blindness upon this boy. All right? He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, He said, the reason this man born blind, God did it, that the works might be manifest in him, that God might get glory. He had a purpose in that physical blindness, and He's got a purpose in all of ours to do. And folks, it's not ours to question. So He blinded these two disciples. Why in the world did He do that? He wanted them to deal with the situation at hand, and at the right time, He opened their eyes. Folks, I want to tell you, the Lord's got to open up to you everything. So I want us to look at these two disciples and see what the Lord opened for them. And then remember, wherever you're at spiritually, the Lord can apply it to you. You can be saved or lost. You don't have to say, well, they're saved. It's not for me. Listen, you must have the Lord to work in your heart and open up areas of your life, or you'll never get hold of the truth. Amen? You'll never get hold of it. Well, first of all, He opened the Scriptures to them. Folks, I want to tell you, you've read it, and I've read it, and some of you still read it, and I still some areas. And then you notice I said He opened the Scriptures, but later on He opened their understanding even after they were saved. You're not going to have everything this book has to say, but you'll have enough to be saved if you'll just let Him open up the Scriptures to you that you need. You realize He said in verse number 25 and 27 as they walked there, then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, which is the Old Testament Word of God that He's talking about, all the way from Genesis to Malachi, He expounded unto them in all the Scripture the things concerning Himself. Old Testament Scripture, He opened the book to them and began to tell them about Himself in the Old Testament. Why, some people say today Jesus is not in the Old Testament. The Word's not, but He's in every page, every book. This book is called, we call it history. His story. Whose story? The Lord Jesus' story. Amen. And so He opened up the Old Testament to them. That's all they had at that time. And He taught about Himself, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament. John chapter 5, verse number 39 and 40. There the Pharisees were gathered together, and Jesus said this to them. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And ye will not come to Me that you might have life. He said, you've looked at them, you've memorized them, you think that's where your life lies because you've kept the Old Testament Scripture, but you hadn't seen Me. Your eyes were closed. You need your eye, the Scripture open, if you please, to you, that you might genuinely see the truth. So He rebuked them because they didn't see the Lord Jesus, and they were clinging to the Old Testament Scripture for their hope and their life. You see, natural man can't understand the Scripture by himself. Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. It means that Scriptures are spiritually discerned. The Spirit must discern them to you. And that's the things of the Spirit, by the way. In other words, somebody said, well, that means they're spiritually dead. I understand that. But that's not what that Scripture said. The Scripture must be spiritually discerned. You'll never understand it. Even if you've got a high IQ, you can read it all day long, but unless God opens the Scripture to you, it's still just going to be a bunch of words and a bunch of things. You've memorized it frontwards and backwards, and it's still God's got to open the Scriptures up to you. Have you ever known something all your life you thought, and then one day it come alive? I'm talking about Scripture. All at once, God gave it to you. You say, well, I've quoted that all my life. I've known that verse all my life. And then all at once, you saw it for the first time. God gave it to you. That the Lord has to open that Scripture to you. John 3:27, He said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And that's the Spirit's job to do that. He's got to give it to you. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to open the Scripture to you. Unless He gives it to you, you cannot know it. Oh, how many times have you read it and you read it and you know it? You say, I know Brother Pascal. He's right in that because I see it in the physical and as far as practicality. But then one day, the Holy Spirit opens it up to you. And you'll never forget it then. Oh, that's what you got to have. It's Him utter something. That builds faith in you. Bible said in John 16:13, when He, talking about the Spirit of God, and He calls Him the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He's got to guide you. He's got to open it up to you. Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, about the saints at Thessalonica who were saved, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. He's got to open it up to you. It's good to believe something because somebody says it. That goes for mama or daddy. That goes for any preacher. I don't care how big the preacher is. I don't care how well known he is. I want to tell you, God's got to open it up to you. He's got to grant it to you. He's got to give it to you. Amen. And so therefore, it's the Holy Ghost's job. Now, He uses human instrumentality. I understand that. But He's still got to open it up to you. The Bible said in Romans 10:13-15, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall He preach except they be sent?" So you've got to have the human instrumentality to come, but still it's the Holy Spirit who's got to quicken it to you. In fact, the business in John, Acts chapter 8, Philip joined himself to a chair after he heard the man reading out of Isaiah 53, and he said to him in verse number 30, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Verse number 31 said, and the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And what did Philip do? When Philip got in the chair, he opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. That's what it and the Holy Spirit opened it up to him, and he understood, and he was saved. Amen. Listen, the Holy Spirit has got to open up the Scripture to you. Now, I want to tell you, He don't just open Scripture to the saved people. He opens Scripture to the lost people. He opens it up if He's got to. Oh, how many times have some told, "Well, God doesn't show a lost man anything." That's not so. You've got to understand enough Scripture. You've got to. That's why it's important, mamas and daddy. And I'm going to be stressing that more and more because I've seen it more and more in these past few weeks, knowing that you need to instill Scripture in those children. I mean, grandmas and grandpas, you need to do it. You need to do everything. You need to teach character in there. I don't tell you what, we're missing a good old dose of character in our lives today. That's what's needed in our lives. You need to instill that in our children. Work ethic, if you please, to do what's right. You read in the book of Proverbs, God doesn't do much with a lazy person. Amen. Teach those children to labor. Teach them to do what's right. Teach them to character, if you please, responsibility, work ethic. And God's got to teach them the spirituality part, but they need that too. But you teach them at least the principles where God can use it one day to draw from. And you'll see God use them one day and God speak to their hearts one day. He'll open the Scripture to them. Amen. Well, He does it to the lost. The Bible says in Psalm 25:8, He said that there as He speaks in Psalm 25:8, that He'll teach sinners in the way. In other words, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. That's a narrow way that leads to the straight gate. John 6:44-45, He said, "No man can come to Me except the Father which sent Me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned," which means God's got to give you some understanding through His Spirit. And that once they've learned of the Father, they cometh to Him. And John 6:37 said, "He that cometh," which means along that path of understanding that the Holy Spirit gives to you. He said, "I will in no wise cast out." That means He'll finish what He started if you'll continue and let the Holy Spirit open your eyes, that you open the Scripture to you. And then what did He do to these people? He opened the Scripture to them. Did He not say in verse number 32 how that last part of it, He opened to us the Scripture? They testified to that. The Lord had to open the Scripture to them, and He must open up the Scripture to you. But He also opened their eyes. Opened their eyes. Now I know they're connected. You've got to have your eyes open in a sense to have the Scriptures open, but I'm just showing you what He opened to these disciples. But He spoke about the eyes, verses 30 and 31, "And it came to pass as they sat..." Now, they already had the Scripture expounded to them. And He said, "Our hearts burned," verse 32 says, while He opened to us the Scripture. But now, they get into the house, they invited them in, and Miss Cleopas might have fixed a meal for him. Amen. I don't know, but it's a pretty good thought if you think about it. But anyway, whatever it was, that he had a meal, and as he came to pass, as he sat down at meat with them. Now, their meal probably was pretty skimpy, but still, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew Him. And then all at once, He vanished out of their sight. But the thing about it, there He was, as He took that bread and broke it. He opened their eyes. Their eyes was opened because He opened them. I don't know exactly what transpired, but can you realize? All at once, He reached and got the bread. Had them maybe under His robe. And, of course, He could keep you from seeing anything. Amen. If He so choose. But all at once, He reached out. And out come those hands that were wounded on the cross of Calvary. And He blessed it. And they heard Him pray. Never a man prayed like that man. And they said, He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Now, I don't know all that happened, but whatever happened, God enabled them for them to see. He opened their eyes at that point in time. And you realize something, you think about it. I thought about this and through the night, last night. Jesus one time was carried out to the cliff to be thrown over the cliff. And all at once, they lost him. And his Bible says he turned, Nazareth, he turned and walked through them. And they didn't even see him. He held in their eyes, you see. He also was taken and they tried to stone him many times. At least I know it's mentioned a couple of times. And he turned and walked right through them. And them had a stone drawn back and they couldn't even see him. See, God can do what He wants when He wants. And He did that to these disciples so that He could reveal Himself to them. After He opened the Scripture, He opened their eyes. We need that. And in a sense, they're connected. I know that. Paul prayed for the saints' eyes to be opened in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18. When he's praying for the saints, he said this in Ephesians 1, 18, "May the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Why? "That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints." Oh, he said, "I want your eyes to be open." Even for the saints, you still need your eyes open. But for the lost man, you definitely need your eyes open. And the Lord has to do that. We're blinded by tradition and don't see Him clearly, if you please. Well, we're also blinded by sin. Isaiah 59, verse number 2, he said, "Therefore, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah 59 said, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, and brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night." We're in desolate places as dead men. You see, they need to be like the Bereans. I mean, the people, we all need to be that, to where we question what God has for us. In other words, they were noble to do that, Acts 17:11 said, so that we may come to the point to have the Scripture open to us and our eyes open. And then He opened their hearts. Verse number 32 said, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us?" While He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened the Scripture to us, their heart burned. Means their heart was opened up. And I know they was already saved in that sense, but I won't tell you that the condition of every lost man is that he's blinded in heart. If you please, Ephesians 4:18, he said this, "Having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of your heart." Oh, Lord, our hearts need to be open. You realize something? Many just say, "Well, all you have to do is open your heart and let Jesus come in." I've got news for you. You can't open your heart. God's got to open your heart. You hear what I'm saying? God's got to open your heart. He's got to do that because you're without strength. You have no God consciousness till God comes and opens your eyes and opens the Scripture and begins to stir inside you. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 14, we have an example. And a certain woman named Lydia, Paul went over there. A great man of God. If anybody could have done anything, Paul could have. But he said he went over there at that cellar of purple, the city of Tyre, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God's got to open your heart to receive that. Like planting the seed inside, He's got to open your heart to give you that seed, and then He's got to open your heart to create in you a new heart, in a sense. Listen, God don't want to come live inside your old dirty heart. He wants to give you a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse number 26 said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, the right kind." You say, well, say, you can say it however you want to. Salvation is of the Lord. He's got to open the heart. He's got to open the Scripture. He opens your eyes. He opens the heart. He also then opened their mouth. Amen. The right way. Amen. Verse number 33 through 35, that says, "They rose up the same hour after Jesus left out of their sight, and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." Well, I don't know exactly what time this is or where it's at. I mean, it appears to be maybe it's hard for him to get back there on the first Sunday night that he resurrected, but it might have been the second Sunday night whenever Thomas was with him. I don't know exactly where that would be, talking, but you couldn't keep them quiet. They went back to where the 11 were gathered, and they told them about their encounter with Jesus. They did what the Lord said. They testified. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. They had power to testify. Where he says there, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the Holy Ghost hadn't empowered them as far as the day of Pentecost yet, but the Lord had been with them. They still had power to testify. And you'll have power to testify once the Lord opens your heart. Once He opens your eyes, opens the Scriptures, you'll open your mouth and you'll have power to testify, even in hard times, difficult times that we're going to be facing. He said this in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse number 12 through 15. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. God said you'll be able to testify. He'll open your mouth to testify. He'll open your mouth to teach. Well, I can't teach. He'll open your mouth to do it. When He saves you, you teach somebody. Colossians 3:16, He said, let the Word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But there's not only teaching, but he'll open your mouth to testify, to teach, and also to rejoice. Luke chapter 10, verse number 20, as they were rejoicing over having victory over the devil, He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, but that the spirits are made subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Just rejoice because you're saved. And then He'll let you sing, not just in the heart, but in the mouth. Amen. Oh, I'll be glad for the day when God does something in hearts around here and we begin to have you who are trying to lead to singing. You know, there'll be some people singing. Amen. They may not be carrying the right tune, but Brother Ray said, it doesn't matter. Amen. He said, just mouth it. He said, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But He said, just mouth it out. Just open up and mouth it out. Amen. Oh, that's what the Lord wants, a joyful noise. That's a joyful noise. Psalmist David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot on the rock and established my going and put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear. I long for that day, amen, when the roof begins to raise, amen, but people singing the glory of God because of something's transpired in their soul. Because Scripture's been opened to them. Their eyes have been opened. Their hearts have been opened. They've been saved. And then their mouths are going to be open as they rejoice and sing praises unto our Lord. And then later on after He met with them in that upper room, as they were there, He said in verse 45, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures even more than at the first. In other words, they had it in the beginning, what they needed. But folks, I want to tell you something. We need the Scripture open to us day by day, all the days of our life. Now, Paul said this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that's behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And before that he said, oh, I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to experience that, is what he's saying there. I need more understanding. Paul said, I've not arrived. I have not reached that. And I want to tell you, when you're saved, you've not arrived at the point you need to be. There's many uncharted Scriptures out there that's never been touched. I don't care if you preach for 50 years, there's still going to be uncharted Scriptures. And therefore, there's many new doctrines that are still shrouded with a shroud of mystery around them. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, He said in John 16, 13. And that's what He's doing. He's opening up our understanding even more of the Scriptures, even after you're saved. Opening up our understanding. Folks, I want to tell you today, the Lord does the opening. Amen? He does the opening. Whether lost or saved, our prayers ought to be like, Lord, open the Scriptures to me. Open my eyes that I might see clearly. Open my heart to receive all You have for me, even if I'm already saved. Still open up to receive what I need. And open my mouth that I may tell others what the Lord has done for me. And then open my understanding of deeper things of God as we go through life for God's glory. Oh, you see, the Lord does the opening. I believe it's kind of like the songwriter said, in the song number 460 in our song book, and I'll not sing this this morning, but I just want to, but this is what the songwriter said, and this is the prayer that ought to be on our hearts today. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, your will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Then in the second verse said, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, your will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. The third verse said, open my mouth and let me gladly bear the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, your will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine. That's what the psalmist, that's what the songwriter printed down, which is basically what we need today. You see, the Lord does the opening. Let Him open up your Scripture to you enough that you might seek Him with all your heart. Let Him open up your eyes that you might clearly see how blinded you were back there. And get honest about that. I tell you, we're so caught up with pride sometimes. Well, I didn't make a mistake joining that fraternity. No, I didn't make a mistake. I was blinded. I didn't know what I was doing. God used even the mistakes in my life to help me. Amen. God used that situation, even though it wasn't scriptural, God used it to break me. There's where I learned to say, yes, sir, no, sir, to boys my equal. Amen. And God used that to break my pride. I come back from that college after the first time, went back to a high school ball game, and I caught myself saying, yes, ma'am, to my high school teacher. Can you imagine that? Man, that was awful. Hadn't been taught all my life to do it. And I taught that in an unscriptural institution. Thank the Lord for that part. But it's still unscriptural. Amen. And I warn you not to get in them if you go up to college. Amen. Because it's not good. It's not right. Amen. But God used it in my life. He'll use even wrong things in your life. But you've got to get honest when He opens up your eyes and you see, I'm wrong. I'm thankful for the man who said, I've been too tulipy. Amen. I mean, just to get, that takes a lot for a man to say that. Amen. Some of you may not know what that meant. But if you need to know, ask me after and I'll tell you. Amen. But the thing about it is, we need to get honest. And then, Lord, open my heart. Plant something inside me. And open, Lord, open my understanding. Open open my mouth then to sing praises to you, to worship you, to teach you, or to testify what you've done for me. Well, I don't know. Now, you'll learn. If God's done something for you, He'll grow you, because He's going to open your understanding so that you'll know. May the Lord help us. The Lord does the opening. Salvation's of Him, and we're going to give Him glory. I remember this week we've had a beautiful picture of this. Amen. They called Audrey in Wednesday night and said, we're going to try to give a little extra because of the situation of our blood situation and whatnot. We're going to try to deal with the situation and give a inducing labor. And so all the monitors were saying, labor, 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 right up there, minute apart, all day. And every time they'd slow it down, it'd slow down, they'd give her a little more. Up and then, all day long, she went through that. And you know what? When they stopped it, right back to, man can make something looks good and can make the machines run right, but you can't produce life. Amen? Now, I want to tell you what. She come home, and the next morning, she called about 7:30, and she said, 3 minutes apart, this is real. I'm headed back to the hospital. Amen? I'm headed back. And then, God used all that. And all that was good. Amen? You'll not understand it all, but I'm saying, God works even things that out that for us that we don't even know. But when God moved in, He didn't open it. He had the delivery, you know. And that's the way it is with salvation. It's of Him. And to God be the glory. Yeah, I use this human instrument, but I'm not God. I can tell you the truth and never make an error, which I always do make errors. Amen. But I want to tell you, God's got to open it up to you. God's got to give it to you. And I'm going to stay with you till He does by the grace of God. Amen. And we'll come through an exceeding great army. Bone to bone and skin and sinew, but breathe on. Holy Spirit, move upon this graveyard that we've got. Amen. And we've got an exceeding army marching, but all we need the Spirit of God to open up your heart, your understanding, your eyes, and everything about you that you might be saved. And then, what an army. My, what an army. Whew, I don't know what I can stand. Amen. May the Lord do it for His glory. Father, help us today.
Thank you that you do the opening. Let no one quench your spirit. We'll praise you for what's done. We'll thank you for that. I plead the blood, just asking that your will would be done. And we'll thank you for it. Oh, Lord, do open up hearts today. Open up Scripture today. Open up our eyes. Help us get honest. Help us have the understanding we need and to walk in that light, that understanding you give us, that you might get glory. And we'll thank you. I want to thank you for all you've done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do now. Take charge, and we'll thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name, for His sake, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Will you mind the Lord this morning as she plays?